started with your dog marking his territory. Then it moved to one company creating an entire ecosystem with one thought in mind. All of a sudden, it escalated to airtime providers all over the place, manufacturers, even software providers who once claimed openness have begun to lay claim what is, quote, rightfully theirs, end quote. Apple Computer, Verizon Wireless, Samsung Electronics, and even the mighty Google Corporation proudly present, It's Ours and You Can't Have No More. Ladies and gentlemen, it is episode 58 of Trending Mobile Technology, and as always, I am your mobile host, Piper the DJ. On the horn with me tonight, making his return back to the TrendingTopicsNetwork.com. Originally from Tunes, he has honored me by inviting me to co-host with him, and now he honors me again by sitting across the table. Ladies and gentlemen, coming in from Morning Tunes, one of the founding fathers, Jack.
Yeah, I like to think I never left Piper, you know, still a piece of me with Trending Topics at all times.
There we go.
It is great to be back, and, it's great to be back talking to you again, Piper, and, feel like we're picking up where we left off whenever we used to do some shows together on the Morning Tunes.
That's right. That was always fun. That was always enjoyable. Thank you so very much for accepting my invitation. I enjoy getting every aspect in this industry, you know, whether it be from the professional, from old school all the way up front, even the guys over in the UK to the normal consumer. And even in your case, one thing that drew me into your case even more is your journey from the iOS to the Android market. And we'll get into that here in a minute. I had something come across my desk earlier this week, and this is kind of a mailbag, not really, but I'm hearing through the grapevine that Skype is going to start having problems and the recording program Pamela. So with that in mind, I've had a lot of people reach out to me through various mediums asking how I record on my system. And hopefully, by the time this posts, I will have that information. I'll have a link out. That way, we can go ahead and you can have a visual walkthrough of how I actually record my shows. It's not as complicated as some people think, but I'll, you know, once having a visual, maybe you'll have a little bit more understanding before Skype and Pamela start making things a little bit more complicated for people. Now, Jack, we're going to go ahead and jump right into this. A couple quick things to preface. You are now in the Galaxy S3 universe. Is that correct?
That is correct, Viper.
Okay. And you, last time we talked, you were solidly concreted in the Apple iOS, I believe an iPhone 4. Is that correct?
That is also correct, Viper.
So if you could, please, just give me a brief overview of, A, what made you decide to switch from iOS to Android, and a little bit of what your journey has entailed.
Well, I guess first thing that could happen, can link it back to, is my wife buying a Galaxy 2 tablet. So I guess that's where the seed was planted, so to speak, because at that point in time, now we're operating on an iPhone with a tablet. And, getting that feel of the tablet, I started to kind of, I just liked, the Galaxy product, And then the next step would be, close friend of mine getting a Galaxy 3 phone. And from there, just hearing what he had to say about it, I started questioning the iPhone, obviously, because, I wasn't a big fan. I had some problems with it. And, the whole Apple iStore experience can be one that at first doesn't seem too big, but, when it's not a convenient, stop for you or time-wise, that's a big drawback as well.
Mm-hmm.
The 4 I had only had 8 megabytes of memory. So when I was, taking pictures and everything, having to constantly transfer those over or move them somewhere else.
Right.
And in general, I don't know. I just wasn't very satisfied with my smartphone experience.
Now, the past couple of weeks, I've had some pretty snarky reports, articles that I've pulled up, where you've got an Apple fanboy out there. 2 weeks ago, I'm pretty sure I had an Apple fanboy going on the record citing that the problem with the Nexus was it was Android. Last week, I had one come down where the problem with Android is it's Android. How would you rate your overall Android experience, and what is your favorite? I don't necessarily want to say favorite, but what do you enjoy most about the Android experience?
Uh, in a kind of corny way, I guess, freedom, so to speak.
Hmm.
You know, I kind of feel like I'm a little less tied down. You know, like I said, with the moving up to 16 gigs and then the kind of open marketplace for apps and customization has, you know, it enhances the experience, I guess.
Hmm. So you're one that likes to be able to customize your device, to be able to tinker with it, to fine tune it, to get that pure experience.
You know, I don't think I'm, in a certain sense I am, but I'm not very deep. I can't say, you know, I'm the most hip or up to date on all the best apps and, you know, how to use every app the best way. You know, but I like to have, I play fantasy sports, you know, so that's a lot of apps to have on my phone.
Uh-huh.
I follow sports, you know, so I got to have, you know, some kind of scoreboard as well as, a few websites I like to read from. I like to download their apps. And, you know, it's enhanced my ability to have all the apps on there as opposed to having to rely so much on shortcuts and mobile web browsing view. It's made everything a little more quick and easy and accessible at fingertip.
So customizability, are you using a custom keyboard or using the stock keyboard that's in there?
I'm using the stock keyboard and I don't like it. I would prefer something more like what the iPhone actually had. That's one thing that I do view as a drawback. Amongst a couple other things, which I'm sure we'll get into, but I the swipe feature, it seems like a great thing. I mean, if I spent more time with it, I'm sure it would, I mean, I guess it must prove to be beneficial, but the swipe's kind of inaccurate and it makes for tough texting at times.
Sure. And I can definitely understand that. I'm not a big fan of swipe. I advocate towards SwiftKey, which is on the Google Market. There's a free version and there's also a paid version. I believe the paid version right now is $4.95, if I'm not mistaken. They just came out with an update, which, once again, is still fantastic. One pro to swipe is the improved word prediction. It actually studies the way that you're typing, and it can usually predict pretty close how I'm doing a message, whether it be to, you know, someone from school or my girlfriend or whatever the situation might be. It's usually right on there pretty well with the way I work. Plus, it now supports cloud service to where if you're typing something on your phone and you have your tablet logged in as well, it'll sync that information. If you're looking for a good keyboard, I would suggest you give SwiftKey a try. I would really suggest SwiftKey. Just give it a try. It's got I believe it's a 2-week trial before it, you know, minimized or limits the features. Once you install it, you do get full access for a certain amount of time. And then obviously you've got to front the money to support the industry. But you know, that is always my first support is to SwiftKey. Just for the simple fact that, it's proven that it works for me. And that is the one thing that holds true for me, you know, because I didn't like the stock keyboard. I didn't like swipe. That was the first thing that went for me. And SwiftKey was there and I picked it up on a recommendation and sure enough, it came through. And there's plenty of things that SwiftKey can do that your average keyboard overlay cannot do. So just give that a try. If you have questions, I'll be more than happy to answer them for you. You know, shoot me an email, hit me up on a Hangout or something like that. We've talked about your transition from iOS to Android. You're talking about how, you know, you've got your freedom. You're feeling that you're not so tied down with the exception of the key. That would be a drawback in your book. I remember
one that, you know, like can be solved.
Yeah, exactly. You know, that's one thing about Android is if there's one thing in it that you don't like, you can do a little bit of looking and that's easily fine tuned. I remember at one point in time we did some talking. You were asking about a podcast manager I recommended to you, Beyond Pod.
Yes.
And it ironically, when you asked, it didn't sink in what you were asking about. I was like, well, I recommend Beyond Pod, but it didn't occur that you were utilizing, that you had switched over to the Android, even though if I reviewed the email correctly, I'm pretty sure you asked, you know, for the email. So as we continue on with this, Jack, surely you have favorite apps. You know, you mentioned that you install apps for your fantasy sports. I'm not talking about in the fantasy realm. You're in management, so obviously, do you have a company phone, or do they allow you to use your personal device in a BYOD environment?
I use my own. I don't have a company phone. I have my own device. I am allowed to use my phone to access, my emails. But other than that, you know, I I don't really try to use my phone too much for work stuff, just in the essence of, you know, I don't want to be that plugged in to my place of work at times.
Right.
I don't want to be that accessible. I don't want to be that capable. You know, I mean, in a certain sense, I don't want to be that capable, you know, to where it's a situation where somebody can just text me and expect a result from me immediately on my, you know, when I might not be at work. So in that essence, you know, I don't really try to plug much into work on my phone, just so I can keep the two separated, you know, between my life and my work life.
That is a very, very smart decision on your part. I mean, just, you know, not making yourself available or accessible or something, you know, to where your employer or, you know, the higher ups can say, well, hey, you know, you're already doing this with your device, so why don't you XYZ as well, you know, and that's, you know, placing limits on yourself. That's a great thing. How are you finding that the Android device works in coordinating schedules or what you use your phone for? I'm not necessarily saying for work wise, but you know, you've got two kids, you got a wife, you know, how does that work in syncing up schedules and calendars, et cetera?
I mean, it works pretty well. You know, my wife is the one that really does most of the booking for the family. So, you know, she kind of takes care of it for me. And, you know, we have a family account that, you know, we kind of share. So she is able to keep everything together. But our kids aren't too active yet outside of, you know, our little girl. She's got Saturday soccer practice. But, you know, as far as that goes, it's been capable of what we need. It's not an overabundant necessity for us.
Sure, sure. One tool in Google Calendars is the ability to share calendars. This is something that I've been doing for some time. And once we get into the Apple press release, we'll talk about that a little bit more. But one thing that Google Calendars does is it gives you the ability to share your calendar. You know, you've got your own Google account. You said your wife does most of the bookings. You know, and instead of sharing an account, okay, yeah, you know, you can have your account and she can have hers and you guys just share your information and it makes like an equal collaboration type thing. It minimizes on confusion sometimes. You're like, oh, is he getting my email or am I getting it or who's responding to this or who's doing what? Sometimes you get stuff like that and it gets a little bit of confusing. But you know, you can go into your mail preferences within the Google web space, and you can actually share your personal account or personal information with your wife and vice versa. And that, you know, it just pops up right there on your device in your calendar app. And it just, it makes for a really seamless transition. And you know, that's something that's another advantage to Google. I mean, yes, I'm a little bit biased because I've been in the Google ecosystem for such a very long time. So you're in the Samsung space, and this is your second Samsung device because you said your wife had a Samsung Galaxy Tab 2, and this is your Galaxy S3. How would you rate your overall Samsung experience against your Android experience to include your transition from the iOS? Meaning, we both know that a Samsung phone is not pure Android. I've gone on the record, I don't know how many times, citing that TouchWiz, for me, personally speaking, TouchWiz is not my cup of tea. Okay, I've said many times my Note 2 is rooted in ROM for the simple fact I can't stand the sauce. Old School gave me the term a couple weeks ago, and I've just run with it. Samsung has put their sauce on it with TouchWiz and their various other apps. So, you know, you were on iOS. You mentioned you liked the keyboard. You didn't like being locked down. So first, how would you rate your transition from iOS to Android? Scale of 1 to 10. And within the Android space, how would you rate your Samsung experience as well?
All right. Well, my experience coming over, I would say so far has been, you know, I'll give it a 7.5 because it has had drawbacks at times, but like, you know, I think I've been able to fix everything, like you were saying, through the Play Store and everything. I've been able to find an app here, find an app there to satisfy what I need. And when I was in, like, with the iPhone, one of the biggest drawbacks, I guess, made it hard to take that step into Android was the group messaging thing. And, you know, I knew that through some research I could, you know, get it set up. And I ended up going with a app, GoSMS.
Yes.
And, you know, after switching some settings and defaults and everything, it's worked out just fine. That's one thing that, like, I was really hesitant, and I think other people might be hesitant about, is thinking that once you move over to the Android, you won't be able to group text with iPhone users anymore. But you can get an app and fix that. So those kind of experiences have made the change, you know, smooth. And just knowing that even besides Google SMS, I wasn't happy with that. There are so many other options out there, you know, that if I had to find something else that really made the experience of us, then that would be, you know, easily for me to do. I wouldn't, you know, just be stuck with it. So, but there are a few things that have been drawing me back. One thing, you know, I don't like is what you're, I think you're trying to get to with Samsung experience, with the Media Hub and the Music Hub and the Music Player, and the Tap Wizard, and the Play Music, or, you know, whatever, all these, you know, all the Samsung apps that are mixed in that, you know, you can't get rid of.
Right.
Those are kind of obnoxious, you know, I mean, they do, at the beginning, it's really a hindrance because every time you try to do something, it's pretty much, like you said, the sauce is spilling all over you. You know, you don't know what to do. You don't know what your, you know, what your direction should be, if you should be, you know, going with a recommended or if you should be searching on your own. And it is a little bit overwhelming at times.
It does create a hassle, and I've actually found, rewinding just a touch to talk about, you know, you're using your Go SMS, I've actually found that Hangouts has become more versatile. This podcast is being recorded, compliments of Hangouts, and majority of individuals have Gmail access in some way, shape, or form, and Hangouts has been integrated into Gmail, just for the simple fact that one of my classes is a group project class. So I'm on a team with six other people. I walked in, sat down, hey, who's got Hangouts? And people are just kind of looking at me like, huh? I'm the only Android user. Okay, everybody else is iPhone. I've got one person in that group that's a Windows user, Windows Phone 8. They're also a Surface user. Okay, so I'm the only Android guy in this group. But I'm walking in, I'm like, who's got Hangouts? And everybody's looking at me like, what's that? I'm like, oh, really? Okay, everybody put your iPhones on the table. So I'm sitting here installing Hangouts on it. I'm like, does everybody have Gmail? Well, yeah, we all got Gmail. We know what that is. So I'm able to get everybody on Hangouts. So I've got six people who don't have Google Plus accounts, but we're all on Hangouts. And that is our group SMS. And that's going to take us into another story that came down the line. Hangouts got a voiceover IP update for iOS, but not Android yet. Okay, and a lot of people in the Android ecosystem are going, wait a minute, where's ours? Where's our turn? What's going on? It's supposed to come to us first. Jack, do you think that with the delays of the Nexus 5, with the announcements and all the perpetual leaks that are coming out on Android 4.4, in this case, which is KitKat, do you think that they're holding on to this release to come out with the Nexus 5 when KitKat is released to the masses?
I didn't think of it that way, to be honest. It wasn't what I thought. I just, you know, I didn't know what their end game was. Like you said, you would think that it would be, you know, come out first with, you know, the Android, but I kind of like where you're heading with that, you know, to make it, you know, kind of like the big thing here at the end of the year as we, you know, head into the holiday season, just another, you know, feather in their cap to really gain momentum for it.
Right. And to date, as of the recording of this podcast, there still has been no word on the Nexus 5. Google had an announcement earlier this week, and their press release that came out earlier in the week said, we're having an event on the 24th of October, but we are not talking about anything hardware. And everybody all across the masses, boards all over the place were lighting up saying, we're going to see the new Nexus, you know, and then they're just like, oh, well, they said no hardware. Like, yeah, well, they're just trying to throw us off the scent. Sure as anything, Google came through. Sure as anything, Google came through, and they didn't talk about the Nexus 5. They didn't, and everybody's in uproar again. So when's the Nexus 5 going to come out? So now that, you know, there's been plenty of speculation. I mean, last week, I believe it was last Monday, if I'm not mistaken, the Android KitKat Google Plus page changed. Okay, and it said everybody dance now, and it had a little GIF of the Android KitKat guy dancing around doing his little doodad. And so everybody thought, well, let's see here. Everybody dance now. The interwebs got a hold of it, and they did what they do, and they hyperanalyzed and said, okay, everybody net dance now was put out by CNC Music Factory. The song, Everybody Dance Now, was released 18 October 1990. So then the interwebs were going crazy thinking, oh, 18 October is when the Nexus 5 is going to be announced. 18 October came, 18 October went. So now everybody's asking, well, now what? Now they're saying, and this was as of, I believe, about 9 o'clock this morning, if I'm not mistaken. They're saying now, 31 October, we will have the Nexus 5 announced. Because KitKat is rated in the top 5 Halloween candies. Jack,
there you go.
Your thoughts.
There you go. All about KitKat, man. I think they love it. I think they love the, you know, sub talk of, you know, all the theories on, you know, how they're going to, you know, when it's going to happen, why this is going to happen. It's almost like the TV show Lost. People just start obsessing over these things and the buzz that gets generated and the anticipation just builds up. You know, it's like a great viral marketing campaign. Just keep throwing out subtle things that, you know, all the tech guys can, you know, obsess over and clamor and give their theories. And I don't know. Interesting.
Many people saying that that these guys just throw these press releases out there and then they sit back and watch the interwebs fall all over themselves with speculation. Oh, yeah. And then they laugh. Oh, yeah. I mean, yeah. You know, I was talking to Only One Mart a couple weeks ago. And he was saying, this is marketing genius.
Absolutely. Yeah. I totally agree too.
I mean, it just, this is running rampant. I mean, Google stock now is over $1,000 a share. I mean, 1,025, I believe it was, at the noonday check. So, you know, Google's on the upswing here. And with Apple's event that just happened earlier this week, we're going to break that event down here in a few minutes. But I think that Google might have the last say on this. You know, they've got a lot of things working in their favor right now. And at this point in time, though, with all the speculation and the best kept secret being the worst kept secret in Nexus 5, I'm thinking Google might get the last hurrah on this, Jack. What do you think?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, from what I can tell, you know, the Android's getting more popular and the hype around the Nexus 5, I am not completely in tune with the technology world, but, you know, there is hype about it and there is a buzz about it. And when it's crossing over, you know, into pop culture, you know, like where people that aren't into it know about it, I think you got something to get ready to make a big splash.
I definitely agree. They are getting ready to make a big splash. Just the simple fact that everybody is in such high anticipation over this. You know, the Nexus 5 coming out. Now, granted, it's not a Note 2, all right? But don't get me wrong. The only thing that my Note has against it right now is the Samsung sauce. I mean, that's what is holding me, or that's what I have against my Samsung device. Now, yes, I'm rooted and wrong, but I also have a Nexus 7 that I'm finding I use more than my Note 2. Why? Because I'm really getting disgusted with the sauce of the Samsung. Okay. Now, granted, once again, I am rooted in ROMed, but not all ROMs have the features that I like. Or the Note 2. So if I use one ROM, I'm going to wind up losing out on one feature that I utilize. If I use a different ROM, it's going to have this feature, but it's going to have the Samsung sauce in it. You know, it's trade-offs, opportunity costs if you're economics major, caveats, you know, it just depends. You know, six one way, half dozen another. I'm really enjoying this Nexus 7, okay? And once again, by the way, for those keeping track, we are up at week 6. Verizon Wireless still not certifying the Nexus 7 2013 generation tablet. Jack, question for you concerning this. There's been a user's manual that's been released. It was leaked out a couple weeks ago. I believe it was up for about 6 hours before it was actually requested to be taken down, whatever requested means. In that user's manual, there's a complete breakdown and spec breakdown of the Nexus 5. Nowhere in there stating that it will be compatible on a CDMA network. Jack, do you think that Verizon has shot themselves in the foot with Project Nexus and their inability to be able to lock down the Nexus 7 on their network?
I think absolutely. I mean, anytime, you know, you have a chance to have you know, the next big thing or you know, a major product that's entering the marketplace, if you don't have your have a hold on it or have, you know, your share of it, that could be kind of scary, I would imagine, you know, for prospects of the future. I mean, if things were to shoot off with this product and people, you know, Verizon users felt like they were being left in the dust and there's no plan to become a, you know, a player in that with the Nexus 7, I would be worried if I was somebody with Verizon.
I definitely would be too. I mean, this is something that, you know, we're talking about a lot of users here. Okay. We're talking about a lot of developers. We're talking about the number one carrier in the United States. And they seem to be coming up with excuse after excuse after excuse after excuse after excuse of why the Nexus 7 still isn't certified. I mean, as far as I'm concerned, yeah, I can understand the fact how they're locking their network down and they're taking back what's rightfully theirs. Okay, I can understand how they're wanting to be more in control of what's on their network, being able to monitor the devices that come and go. But when it comes to Nexus, you're talking about thousands of devices. You're talking about thousands of users that they're going to lose. And I really think that this is a bad move. I mean, you know, if it's a legitimate mistake and somebody forgot to put the zero in the right place or the one in the wrong place or what have you, and it's a legitimate mistake and it's a, you know, okay, we're sorry. 2 weeks later, you're up and going, you know, but we're talking 6 weeks. 6 weeks after the release of the Nexus 7 LTE, and it is still not on Verizon. Folks all over on Google Plus saying they're jumping off of Verizon and going someplace else. I got a feeling T-Mobile's about ready to make a lot of people really happy. And I'm not dogging on Verizon. Okay, they got a good network. They got a lot of stuff going on. You know, I used to work for Verizon. And it's a strange thing about how I don't work for Verizon anymore, and now I really dislike Verizon for the fact of their customer service. I mean, they've got really shabby customer service. Don't get me wrong. They've got a good network, but their customer service seriously is lacking big time. And this is a prime thing right here. You know, if I had a Nexus tablet going in, and they said, oh, you know, you're it's not certified on our network, I'm like, you know, I'm not paying two cell phone bills here. You either get this to work or you'll be in breach of contract, which I'm fairly positive that's in there someplace. I don't know what their new contracts are worded like, but, you know, they should be able to support this. I mean, don't you think? When Google released the Nexus 7 2013 edition, they said it was going to be available for usage on Verizon, AT&T, Samsung, T-Mobile, and Sprint, the big four. It's also available to be used on U.S. Cellular, which they've reported usage on U.S. Cellular. All of the Sprint MVNOs, Ting, Boost, various other MVNOs are able to support the Nexus 7 LTE. Nobody, I repeat, nobody on Verizon. Tool point, once again, the Nexus 5. No CDMA support. I really think this is a bad move for Verizon. I've said it before. I've said it again. I'm going to continue saying it. And probably when the Nexus 5 comes out and there's the announcement, you know, if they say it's going to be supported by Verizon, I'm going to be a little surprised. I got to say it. I'm going to be surprised on this because I really think that Verizon has shot themselves in the foot on this one over this particular situation because they're not getting on the ball.
I mean, if you're a Verizon customer, I gotta believe it's gonna cause your faith and your carrier to start dwindling, especially if you've come to realize there's something you want that you can't have because of the choice that you've made. Man, I would just be a very disappointed user. And, you know, there's no reason not to switch, you know, because in the end, you know, it's a pretty open market out there as far as carriers go, and you know, people can find homes other places.
That's right. And as a matter of fact, I believe this past Wednesday, T-Mobile sent out a press release citing they're running a promotion right now, 200 megabytes of free LTE service to LTE compatible devices and tablets. Meaning, if you have an LTE Nexus 7 2013 edition, that's LTE compatible, and it'll accept the T-Mobile chip, you can go in and pick up a T-Mobile chip and get 200 megabytes of free data. No question. And when it's done, it's done. Take out the chip, throw it away. Or there's also the option to add more data. I mean, T-Mobile is definitely the Un-carrier. I mean, I was seriously questioning when I switched over to T-Mobile, and I think it's the best thing I've ever done. You know, I'm on T-Mobile now. I'm going on, pretty sure it's 6 months that I've been a T-Mobile user. And it's the best thing I've ever done because it's no hassle. It's cheap. It does what it's supposed to do. And their customer service works. It does what it's supposed to do. And I can't complain about it. So, you know, 200 megabytes, it doesn't sound like much, but it gives the consumer an opportunity to see how they like the T-Mobile service. If it turns out to be something that works in their favor, then they get more. If it doesn't, hey, no harm, no foul. I think this is a good marketing plan for T-Mobile. Jack, what do you think about this? Do you think that T-Mobile is working good or working bad in doing this? You know, saying 200 megs free. You know, come on in, get your chip. Give us a try.
Well, I mean, you know, once again, this is something that kind of, you know, you're enlightening me on the situation, you know, which I'm really enjoying myself because you really are kind of making me think and learn a thing or two. That's amazing. I mean, once again, you talk about just great competition from the companies. What a move. I mean, yeah, you know, it's like, you want to know how good you can have it? Here, we'll show you for free, you know? And then when you're done, we're that confident that when you're done, you're going to come, you know, to our side and join our team. And I think it's, you know, genius. You know, we've talked going back to the Kit Kat, I mean, promotion. It's just like, I have a lot of respect for the way these technology companies use every tool they have to promote and enhance the product they're offering. I mean, that's great by T-Mobile. And hearing your endorsement of T-Mobile makes me wish I wouldn't have just re-upped with AT&T. I would have given it more thought. But you know, I've always been happy with AT&T and the reason to leave,
right?
From my perspective. But, you know, it's, you know, just taking a look and seeing what else is out there. Yeah, maybe that's something I should have looked at. And I think I will around next time I got to up my deal. But, I mean, what a move. I like it.
And that's definitively a position that T-Mobile's taking. You know, they're taking the, you know, we are the Un-carrier. We are making, you know, and T-Mobile is just continuing to prove that they are exactly who they say they're going to be. They're the Un-carrier, and they've done a really good job of doing it. You know, I'm not on the T-Mobile payroll. I'm a T-Mobile user. Now, granted, they're not perfect. Okay, because they are number four for a reason, but they're making improvements. They're getting better. They, you know, like I go to work and I don't have LTE at work. I'm on edge when I get to work, but you know, it's fine because it does what it's supposed to do. I mean, they're not the most reliable, but they do what they do. And that's, I think this 200 meg thing is a perfect promo for them because it gives the user an opportunity to see, you know, what does T-Mobile, where do they work for me? There's a couple shows I listen to where people say, well, T-Mobile doesn't work for me at home, but it works for me great at work. You know, well, at home I've got Wi-Fi, so, you know, it's a good trade-off for me there. 5 minutes on the road and I'm in a place where I'm in 4G LTE, and then I go to work and, you know, da-da-da-da-da, life goes on. You know, so there's definitely caveats and trade-offs to making a change. AT&T, it's been a while since I've been on AT&T, but there's a reason why they're the number two carrier. They are getting ready to do it's what's called the Tier 20 rollout, which is their broader spectrum of LTE, which in some cases could be speeds of up to 20 megs a second, which in that case, your 4G LTE would be faster than some cable internets. But you just got to be careful because AT&T does not offer the big band spectrums that a lot of your other carriers are offering. So, you know, just little trade-offs, little caveats, you know, little things to think about as things go on. And, you know, just something to put in the back of your mind. Yeah. Jack, you know, we've alluded to this a couple times throughout the night, and now we're going to get into it. Earlier this week, Apple had their big press event. They talked about, and I've said it many times, and I'm going to continue saying it, nobody does a keynote like Apple. Nobody. I mean, every time I tune in to an Apple event. It's not top in my list, but it is still a very good show because they start out telling you what they're going to tell you. They tell you, and then they tell you what they've told you. A couple years ago, I took a speech class, Jack, and one of the primary things that my instructor ingrained in my head was, when you go to give a speech, here's the format you should follow, the general format. Tell your audience what you're going to tell them. Tell them, and then tell your audience what you've told them. Now, that format, you listen to what I just told you about the Apple event that just happened. They follow that same template. And here we go. Now, one of the things that I noticed about this event, once again, there was no noticeable Siri demonstration. There wasn't. Which kind of raises a red flag in my mind because Siri is the Google Now competitor. But that's not what Apple was pushing on this event. This wasn't the big thing. The big thing that Apple had on the books for this was their iPads, their MacBook Pro, their Mac Pro, OS X Mavericks, and their new iPad line. And I will honestly say, when you say Mac OS X Mavericks and free in the same breath, it makes my head go up. As a Mac user, this is exciting to me. Jack, is free software exciting to you?
It sure is. And you know, using cool words like Maverick make it even better. But I'm not a Mac user, but you know, like you said, Maverick operating system free. It's appealing.
It definitely is. This keynote overall, the entire show, started to shake my foundation that I have in my Google ecosystem. And here's why. They came out and said OS X Mavericks is going to be free. They gave iWork a complete makeover. GarageBand, Apple Keynotes, Apple Works, Apple Numbers, okay? I am firmly immersed in the Google Cloud service. I utilize Google Docs. I utilize Google Message. I utilize Google Excel, which you and I are on right now with my show notes. I utilize Google Forms for collaboration services. But iWork, the new iWork package suite, collaboration, live collaboration to include graphics, that is exciting. Jack, in your industry, in management, do you have shared documents that you have to share, whether it be inner office or outer office, with other people?
Yes.
So, obviously, if you share a document, maybe to proof or to collaborate, having online collaboration is kind of a necessity, wouldn't you agree?
It is, there's other ways to do it, but, you know, with the technology being what it is, say it is a spreadsheet report with numbers, you can look at it and change it in real time. That just makes the operation that much easier. And the real time aspect of it is, it's not essential, but it sure is helpful, as opposed to attaching documents for emails or, printing and, that's a lot of paper and everything else. If you can look at something simultaneously on the same screens and make adjustments without having to keep sending back and forth. That's what one little piece we use it for. It's nice.
It is. It is. And I've been in situations where collaboration is necessary. I've talked repeatedly about this class I'm taking this semester. It's a group project. I've got a lot of things where I've got to collaborate on a lot of different things and a lot of different schedules to coordinate. So therefore, being able to coordinate a situation like that works to my advantage. However, when I watch this keynote, this excited me because this was a situation where they took a document in iWork, they edited it, they sent a link out via email, they sent a link out in email, and it worked. They moved graphics around, and it worked. They edited the form right there, and it worked. No problems. No, oh, well, we've got to export it out and then bring it into this and then export it out again. No, it was all self-contained right there. One time, one app, one use. Jack, does that sound like an appealing convenience? Not only in the professional industry, but also the casual industry. I mean, say, you know, your wife decided that she wanted to micromanage the kitchen and says, Jack, honey, when you have an opportunity, check out this link here concerning what I would like to do with the kitchen. And you click on it and say, wow, darling, baby, goddess of the kitchen, this is fantastic. But what about if we do this instead? Do you think that that would be exciting? I mean, being able to look and say, yeah, but, I mean, in the example that they had in this keynote, they were working on an album cover. And right there in the keynote, they changed the graphic, they changed the watermark, they changed the font, all of it. Boom, whammo, done. One and done. Simple, direct, effective, and easy collaboration. Jack, what do you think? Yes or no?
Oh, well, I say yes. I mean, you know, it sounds almost too good to be true. It sounds like, like he's dealing with a lot of exporting of files and converting files and digging through, you know, to get, you know, pull it out. You know, I'm getting at. But it has something simple like that. Like you say, you know, just boom, boom, boom. I mean, it'd be nice to get a visual on it. You know, I definitely want to go back and rewatch, you know, and maybe check this out because, you know, like you said, it sounds too easy, you know, not having to move around and just being able to, you know, edit everything right there without issues.
Right. And a few weeks ago, old school took me to task. We did Dropbox versus Google Docs or Google Drive. Sorry. And one of my biggest I like Drive as well. Just for the simple fact, I like the functionality. A few weeks back, old school and I, we did Dropbox versus Google Drive. And he took me to task. And my biggest thing that I hold to Google Drive is the online collaboration. I like being able to edit. The big thing, though, is it's text only. Okay, if I want to be able to import a graphic or put a graphic on there or, put in like a chart, I have to close out of the document. I've got to save it to my desktop, add my document, and then re-upload it to the drive for editing and collaboration. Yes, that's adding steps. According to the keynote, it's a one-step process. One and done. Now, they never said, quote, it just works, but it is a one and done. And that, on its own, is exciting to me. I like that. One and done. Now, I am a Mac user. I have a MacBook Air right here in front of me. I'm managing the dock off of it. Later on, I'll be using it to edit this show. So, seeing the reworking of iWork is exciting, making it a one and done usage. I like that. They talked about MacBook Pros, which has been a really, really needed update. MacBook Pros, when they first came out, powerhouse laptop, very powerful. They came out with a newer processor. Instead of the Haswell, it's a Crystal Well processor, 45 watt usage, lower amperage, longer battery life, just a powerhouse of a laptop in the prosumer industry. Jack, for work, do you utilize laptop space, tablet space, desktop space? How are they utilizing the computing in the professional industry where you're at?
Well, I mean, we have laptop that is a mobile that, you know, somebody has with them at all times. It's interesting. We never chose to go with a smartphone. We've always just gone with a basic cell phone with a laptop combo for somebody that works on call in my line of work. And other than that, you know, the We have, you know, desktop computers at every desk, mainly just for usage of email, research, you know, I guess company hardware. Other than that, you know, we're not, it's not a, like I work in staffing and it's just not a very necessity for everybody in the office to have all the same information. It's just people just kind of use their computers for information intake. I wish it was more exciting. I wish we were better networked. But you know, we're a small company, so we just kind of do what we do.
Right. And that's perfectly fine. So I guess this would appeal to you in the personal space then.
More
could having a powerhouse of a laptop appeal to you in the version of the MacBook Pro? I mean, it's, you know, this the MacBook Pro has crystal well technology. It has the heightened processor, you know, where the Mac Pro could operate on 12 cores. I mean, it's a beast. It looks like an oversized garbage can. It has it supports 4K TV. It has induction, lower wattage. It can support, I believe, 2 terabytes of RAM. I mean, it's definitely designed for the prosumer.
Yeah. Well, you know, I guess. For those who don't know, I do host a podcast as well with Brian Still, and you know, having a more capable laptop would be something for me that, God, I mean, the one I have right now, I feel like it's 2 years old, and I feel like it's bogged down, you know, like it's running with its, you know, feet stuck in the mud. You know, amp it up and just have it something that would be high powered, it'd make things a lot easier, especially when you consider, like you said, having the space to go back and edit shows and keep all that, you know, all those files on your computer. You know, just having something more powerful and quickly moving would be sweet.
Right, right. And the MacBook Pro, let me just share with you a little bit. We'll go over some specs. 13-inch MacBook Pro and $1,299.
See,
is that a little too steep? Now you got to understand. With the MacBook Pro, you get OS X Mavericks. You get iWorks. You get the new GarageBand. You get just about every innovation that we've talked about this evening for free. Plus, you get a beast of a battery. You're talking 14 hours, easy. You're getting crystal well technology. You're getting Retina display. You're getting 4 gigs of RAM without question. You're getting the beast of a processor. Jack, now does this device appeal to you?
What I have to do is figure out a way to use all that to make money. I don't feel like I can spend that much money unless the device in some way is putting me in a position where I would be an investment, so to speak. You know, if it was going to get me over the edge in my profession, I would find it to be something I'd buy, you know, but it's just for a personal situation. For me, that would be a tough investment to truly justify. You know, I just wouldn't be able to put that kind of money into it. I would love to up that up to date though, but it would be just hard for me to invest in that unless it was for friends that were going to be a good investment for me down the line.
Okay, so you're thinking like the traditional consumer, where they're justifying the investment, where the geek like me looks at this and they're just salivating, looking at all this tech sunk into this machine. I mean, when the initial MacBook...
It's impressive. It's very impressive.
It is impressive. Don't get me wrong. It is a beast. Yeah. It's a beast. It just, that's all there is to it. It's a beast in device. It's a lot of device for a laptop. So I can understand where the justification is necessary. I get that. I'm on board with that. I'm cool with that. I got it. Cool. So the $1,299, I can understand. Kind of makes the eyebrows go up. How am I going to make money? How am I going to make money with this? I got you. So let's advance a little bit. The $1,299, that's for the 13-inch MacBook Pro. The 15-inch MacBook Pro, $1,999. However, over $1,000 too much? Okay, fine. Let's back it down a little bit. $999, same technology in the MacBook Air. Now, Jack, Does this sound more appealing to you?
It does sound more appealing. I mean, go down just a little bit in money, but a little bit means everything sometimes, you know? And if you're looking for something special for the family, and, you know, I mean, I think that it, something more like that, especially just more it's more versatile, it does make it more appealing. You know, I feel like a laptop is, you know, its weight, you know, where something like, you know, the Air is a little more, you know, for the people on the go.
Right. Yeah. Well, now the mobile industry, though, and this is something that makes mobile tech very exciting for this simple fact that laptops are becoming a thing of the past.
Yeah.
In just about every industry, you've got salesmen that still carry around laptops, students, some students carry around laptops, but more and more students are carrying around tablets. I carry around a tablet. I know quite a few businessmen that come in and go out of my place of employment where they don't carry a laptop anymore. They have a tablet. Now, granted, don't get me wrong, laptop still has its place. I know a lot of students that carry laptops to and from school. I have no problem with that. But let me ask you this, Jack. Going back to the Apple press release, they put the mobile industry on its ear when they redesigned the iPad and changed the name to iPad Air. They made it thinner, they made it lighter, they beefed up the resolution, and that is on sale and ready to go with the new iOS 7. Here's the specs. 1.4 pounds, 9.7 inch Retina display. It is 20% thinner than the iPad 4. 64-bit A7 chip and 72 times faster than previous iPad. It also supports multiple in, multiple out Wi-Fi technology and will have LTE compatibility. Jack, does this iPad at $499 for the 16 gig version sound appealing?
It does. And it doesn't have like 1080p HD and FaceTime HD. And
it has all that. Yes. It's all in there.
I mean, yeah. It's just all decked out, like you said. I mean, and I think that's actually reasonable. I think $499 is a very reasonable price for that. I don't think they're overreaching with it. I think people will pay. I think the average consumer, it's a stretch they might be willing to make, you know? It's, you know, smaller, faster, you know, not smaller, but, you know, lighter, easier, faster, you know, clearer. I think, you know, it is. It's something I think is going to burst through, you know, it's going to break through walls as far as, you know, going from the hardcore techies to the average consumer. I think it's going to be a very popular item.
Right. They also talked about keyboard cover, $79 for a smart case with built-in keyboard. I think, honestly, just personally, I think that with the release of this device, Apple is taking a blatant jab at the Microsoft Surface. With the Microsoft Surface 2 that's just been released, the 2 Pro, I take that back, I'm sorry, it comes with dockability. It comes with the ability to expand and reduce all at the flick of a switch. And I think that this device right here, the iPad Air, is a direct competitor to the Surface. Now, granted, you're still going to have your people that are out there that have their tablets with their keyboards, like me. I've got a keyboard, full-size keyboard, that I link up with my Nexus 7 for school. That way, I don't have to worry about taking my laptop to school anymore. My laptop stays at home. Yeah. My girlfriend plays on it. The kids play on it. You know, do their stuff at home with it. I'm cool with that. I'm fine taking the Nexus. I got no problem with it. Okay? It does what it's supposed to do. But in the executive space, in the higher education. See, I don't know if you've heard, but Surface is making a big push in the university space. Surface is getting very popular in the university space. Not as high as the iPad, which is weird. I mean, it's really weird as far as I'm concerned, because I always thought that iPad was the learning tool. Apple was making itself available to, you know, those in the education field. And come to find out, in the education field, more students are going to Surface. Why? I'm not quite sure yet. You get Mr. Old School on here, he'll say, oh, it's just higher education. Well, yeah, okay, he's biased too. But on the flip side, do you think that Apple is trying to concrete themselves in the business space where people might be carrying a full-size laptop around that might be getting ready to give out?
It is like, I think what you're saying is, got some truth to it, but like, once again, you talk about a generation, and as the generation moves, and the last generation is moving into the workplace generation, that it might be familiarity. Like you said, they might be trying to take over the laptop. And I think it's a great call because you do have an untapped market there. You do have new consumers there. If what you're saying is their plan, I think it's a great strategy. I mean, they are continuing with their generation. While there is something to say about what you feel about with Surface taking over the university aspect of it, you would be worried about that. But I feel like Apple has the brand familiarity with people that if they make a push for a market, they can get to it.
Right. That's definitely sure. Now, Jack, do you have a tablet at home?
The Galaxy 2, yes.
Yeah, that's right. The Galaxy 2. You mentioned that with your wife. So the Galaxy 2, is it the big one or the little one? There's a 10-inch form and a 7-inch form on that, I believe.
I think it's the 7-inch one.
7-inch one, okay.
Which works well.
Yeah, and don't get me wrong, it's a good device. A lot of tablets, it's very seldom, if you're going to pay the money for it, very seldom will you feel ripped off on a device. When it comes to Android, iOS, even Windows, you're going to get what you pay for. If you want a device on the cheap, you're going to get a device on the cheap. That's just all there is to it. The Samsung Galaxy Tab 2, good device, solid. Solid device, stable. And I'm not just saying that because it's Android. I'm not just saying that because it's Samsung. It's a good device. Lots of people giving good reviews for it. Okay. It's not like high-end. But I mean, it's above standard, and that's a very good device. So with what we've talked about with the iPad Air, I mean, we've talked about extra features with the iPad Air, we've talked about cost, we've talked about how, maybe they're taking a jab at the Surface with this. Do you think that, personally speaking, I think that the iPad Air to come out, quote, in direct competition with Project Nexus is a bit of a stretch, my opinion. I think if they want to go up against Nexus, they've got a big shoe to fill. But do you think that this iPad Air is a direct competitor to, say, the Samsung Tab series? I mean, there is that slim line in the demographic that says they didn't like the Samsung Tab 2 for whatever reason. Okay. Do you think that the iPad Air saying, hey, you didn't like that, but hey, look at us. We've got a tablet. We've got Retina. We've got fast processor. We've got a leather case. We've got, all these extra tools. Do you think that this device might be able to sway a dissatisfied customer of the Tab 2?
I think it's enough to sway a satisfied customer of Tab 2, to be honest.
Wow.
But I just think, when it comes to innovation, I don't know a lot of people that are as brand, are as loyal to an iPhone or an Android. Maybe they are more than I think they are. But most people I encounter in my life, they want to be on the cutting edge, I feel like. And, this could be the next thing. I don't think they think that highly of the tablet. I think that they would jump at this to be as up to date as they can with technology, so to speak.
Exactly.
I think it's very attractive. It's a very, it's the next thing. And I think there's enough people that would want to be a part of the next thing that it would make it a success, even if they were satisfied currently.
That's a very, very valid argument. Any speculation as to why they changed the name to iPad Air? That's just a question off the top of my head. I have no idea where they're going with iPad Air.
Well, I think it has something to do with, first of all, the weight, I mean, it's like air, it weighs nothing. It's, and it also presents, if you think about market research, you think about air, it's very, you think clean and pure and fluid, it's just there, and that's kind of thing we're trying to go with that, is it's so fast, it's not like it's going to be a stop in time, it's just going to be floating, and it's so, it's light, it doesn't feel like it's there, it's light as air.
Sure.
I think it's a great name, actually, it is very inviting and attractive.
And it is a very good name. Don't get me wrong. When the MacBook Airs first came out and I read the specs on the MacBook Air, I had to raise my eyebrows about it because, you know, they took away the CD-ROM. They took away all the extra stuff that I always, quote, thought I needed on a laptop. You know, like the Ethernet port, modem port, extra USB, FireWire, FireWire 2, etc. And they just stripped it down. You know, you can't upgrade the processor. You can't change the RAM. What you see is what you get. You know, if your airport card goes bad, guess what? You're stuck. You know, I thought that I was really going to be kind of up in arms about this. but then I had an opportunity to present itself to me, and they're just like, give it a try. You get 3 weeks. And I was like, okay. So I took it away. And I'm the kind of guy that if I'm given a challenge and I'm able to suit that challenge, I'm going to go and I'm going to try. And when I say break, I don't mean that in a negative context. Okay. Because I do what I do because of the innovation. I do what I do because I love the information. I do what I do because I like to see the excitement about new things that come out. So I grabbed hold of the MacBook Air. I took it home and I worked the hell out of it. I did. I beat it up. I thought, you know, said, okay, you know, I want to like this, but if it comes down to it, if I have to say I don't, I'm willing to do that. And I wound up realizing that all the extra stuff wasn't really that important to me. It came to a point where it didn't really bother me that much that I couldn't upgrade the processor, that I couldn't change out the RAM, that if the airport card went bad, who cares, that I didn't have a CD-ROM, that I didn't have an Ethernet card. Those things that were important to me were no longer important. So with that in mind, we sit back and we look at the evolution of the iPad, which, by the way, the iPad 2 has been marked down. I have already left that screen, but I believe it's down to just under $300, which raises my eyebrows. Because don't get me wrong, I'm not the guy that goes out there looking for the $100 tablet. But it's really funny. More and more people are saying, Piper, you really need to check out this iOS. I want you to take 30 days to test out iOS. Well, you know, I'd be more than happy to, but unfortunately, I don't have the money to drop to get into the iOS department because their stuff's always so stinking expensive. But this iPad 2 being marked down the way it is, I just might be able to make that step here very soon. I mean, and if nothing else, I repurpose my devices like mad. So, yeah. I mean, if I don't like it, I'm sure I could find some use for it. But I'm looking at this. I'm like, oh, less than $300, really? I mean, I paid $350 for my Nexus 7. So, you know, dropping a little bit of money on an iPad 2 that's a year old, 2 years old, you know, I could easily justify. But yeah. the things that are weighing heavy on my mind of this are, A, will I be able to get the full iOS 7 experience? And B, if I'm going to, you know, make that investment to get in, why don't I go ahead and look at the iPad mini? Here we are, $399 for the 16 gig device, or $299, which, okay, the iPad mini with Retina starts at $399. That's the 16 gig Wi-Fi. That's supposed to be coming out in November. That's actually up a little bit because it was originally $329, but Apple announced that the iPad mini Retina, that's got 1080p export, it's got eyesight, it's got FaceTime, it's got front and back 5-megapixel cameras, that is available for $299. This is looking like it could be exciting. I'm not joking.
I can feel the excitement.
I've got more people on a regular basis saying, I really wish you'd quit bashing Apple so much. It's not that I'm bashing Apple. Please don't think I'm bashing Apple. It's just that they're not innovating. Now, don't get me wrong. Okay. Giving away Mavericks, that is a big innovation. Giving away iWork, that is a big innovation, okay? Releasing the iPad Air, releasing the Crystal Well processing of the MacBook Pro, okay? They've innovated. They have done they needed to catch up. Apple needed to catch up, and they've done a bang-up job catching up. Have they moved that bar? I don't think so. I mean, I hate to say that because Apple's the computer giant that they are, but I was really disappointed that there wasn't a live demo of Siri. I mean, that's just me. Is that kind of out of line, yeah. Jack? Help me out.
Well, no, I mean, I would say for Siri being such a big, focal point and feature of the past, that was in the recent past, to not continue on with it, it might draw some eyebrows as to was there, are they dropping it? Is it less of a focus? Is it not a deal anymore? That's the way I look at it in a certain sense, because Siri was such a big deal.
Yeah, I was.
I just think that I think like you're saying, like showing it off would have been of nothing but a benefit. And I think by not showing it off, it just leaves questions, and people may be not completely satisfied.
Sure, and that's I was waiting for the but wait, there's more, or as they're getting ready to wrap up, one more thing, or something. I was waiting for a watch. I was waiting for glasses. I was waiting for an update to Apple TV. There was just so much more that I was waiting on. But with everything that they went over in this event, the more and more I listened, the more and more I watched, and this was to a point where I had to listen to it more than once. Okay, I downloaded the thing to my phone and I listened to it more than once. Now, granted, we broke down the entire event, I believe in about 35, maybe 40 minutes, and we've been doing some back and forth on this. Their entire keynote production, start to finish, went an hour and 21 minutes, if I'm not mistaken. I don't have the exact time in front of me. So, they had their vignettes that they showed. They had Tim Cook in his very slow, metered cadence and conversation. Yeah, anyway. So, there's every... I believe that Apple does everything for a reason. And Jack, you and I know this from the professional wrestling circuit. Everything happens for a reason. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm fully confident that Apple is setting themselves up for something bigger in the future. I just don't know what. Okay. I want to see, and this is where people don't understand me. This is where I start to lose people, because I want to see Apple succeed. I want to see Apple beat Android. I want to see Apple get on top of the stack again when it comes to software innovation. I want to see Siri come out and beat the hell out of Google Now. I want to see it. I'm not challenging. I'm not trying to be a smartass. I'm not trying to be a punk. I want to see the innovation. I do this, and I sound like a broken record sometimes. I do this because of the innovation. That's why I got involved in this industry. That's why I do what I do, because of the innovations. Well, that's why I host Trending Mobile Technology, because I like to see the new stuff that comes out. I like to talk about it. I like to get different opinions. I want to see Apple bump that bar. Jack, do you think that innovation is the heart of competition? Or do you think that being slow and just meeting the status quo is what makes competition?
Well, I think, that maybe the perception of innovation, is what drives the business of it. Obviously you have to be innovative, but, it's almost like the slow con, so to speak. You don't always want to be tipping your hand. You always want to make sure you have your next item, in the works before the next, before you do anything else. I think there's a step-by-step process. I think it's well planned out. I think they want to be innovative, but not innovative to be, for technology's sake. I think the innovative is for the brand's sake. They have more. I think they have more bullets in their gun. I just think they hold back to drive the market, to just make people itch for it, make people want it. And like you said, just like professional wrestling, you dangle the carrot out there forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. Don't ever fully give it away, and I think that's just what Apple does. I think they just want to leak everything they have to you in a slow, drizzly pace. And if they ever had to, if they ever were desperate, push something really, like you said, completely innovative out there and just wow the market.
Right.
I think that the slow draw strategy, it's not a bad one. No, I don't think it's bad.
I agree 100%. I believe that when Apple released the Mac Pro, Well, actually, when they announced it, they innovated massively. I mean, the thing looks like an oversized garbage can, but it's a beast. I mean, it's got 4 lightning ports. It's got 12-core technology. It's got a single fan. If you want to talk a powerhouse of a device, that's what this is. This is a beast. This is designed to do full video renders in real time. Okay, this is the device that I wish I had 10 years ago when I was doing TV commercials all the time. Now, granted, the technology wasn't there, but, you know, we can still hope and pray. So as we've been talking about this Apple event, you know, the innovations, the new releases, the technology, Jack, you alluded to the fact that even though you're a satisfied Samsung Galaxy Tab 2 user, you alluded to the fact slightly that if you could justify it, this keynote might start to sway your decision a little bit. Is that correct? Or am I off track?
Yeah. Well, I mean, in a realistic world, it probably wouldn't happen. Uh-huh. But in a desire world, it's something that could make me question, you know, where I'm at with my, you know, tablet, iPad, you know, where I'm at, you know, am I satisfied? Could I be more satisfied? In a realistic world, I can't really make that jump, but it's one that I could definitely sit back and think about and wonder.
Definitely, definitely. In the world of want, I don't want everything in this keynote. But I want a Mac Pro. I want a MacBook Pro. I want a MacBook Air. You know, I want these devices because A, I'm a Mac guy, and B, I could find a function for every single one of those devices in my bag. I mean, I could. It might not be utilized to its fullest capacity, but it'd be a hell of a lot of fun. I mean, I could put 2 4K displays up here on the wall, you know, and just... But, you know, once again, we do live in a realistic world where there's that little dollar sign in the front of everything. And you just look at that and say, God, really? What a buzzkill. You know, it's like that.
That's a good way to put a buzzkill.
Just like, man, well, I just had a case, but I can't have no more. You know, it's just one of those things. So realistically speaking, yes, this looks nice. Could I justify the expense? Eventually. It's not something that I could justify right off the bat. It's like you said, you know, I would have to find a way to be able to justify this and say, how is it going to come back to me? And I get that 100%. I fully 100% respect you for that opinion. Everything that
I have so many great things in life, you know, not everything can be pure satisfaction.
True. Very good. That is very profound.
Yeah, you know, I say some smart things once in a while. Yeah.
Very good phrasing.
That's the truth.
Very good, very good. We didn't get ready to wrap this up. I've got one more story that I want to get to just for the simple fact that if old school catches it first, I know he's going to unload on me. Ars Technica, earlier this week, they released a story. Headlines, quote, Google's iron grip on Android, controlling open source by any means necessary, unquote. Now, in my opening monologue, I cited about how airtime providers, manufacturers, software providers are taking back what once was rightfully theirs. Android has always prided themselves on being open source. From the Android operating system, we have received the Amazon Fire OS. We have received the Samsung Galaxy series with all of their special sauce. We've received HTC with all of their special sauce. We've received Nokia and their special sauce. We've received LG and their special sauce. We've received every other Android device manufacturer with their special sauce that does not include Project Nexus, the pure Android experience. And now Google's falling under fire because they're keeping their special sauce as the Google experience. Okay, Android is open. Okay, just for the simple fact, a little bit of backstory here. This is focused primarily on the AOSP, or the Android Open Source Project, which is classified as the Android proprietary apps. Your Gmail app, Hangouts, Google Drive, Google Chrome, okay? The apps that you generally are installed automatically on your Android device. But in some situations, you as the user are required to download them. Some of the older versions are going to be let go. Apple Keyboard. Some of the other apps that are in the Google Play Store at this moment that are classified as AOSP are going to be let go. Now, no longer updated because Google is taking control of those apps so they can dictate when the updates come out. Much similar to what they already do with Project Nexus. They're just spreading it out a little bit more, taking it out of the carrier's hands and saying, you know, this is Android. We're going to take care of this. Jack, do you think this is a good move for Android, taking back what's rightfully theirs and saying, you know, Android is our special sauce. So, you know, if you want us to put our name on your device or you want to put your name on our software, you know, this is what you're going to have to follow. You know, these are the apps that you need from us to make your our operating system work on your hardware. So these are the hoops you've got to jump through. Jack, is this a good move or a bad move for the folks at Google?
Well, I think it's a good move, and not to answer with a question, but I mean, do you think if Google did not take these steps, that, you know, since you said it's an open source, could somebody else eventually take these steps and just move in and steal, you know, Google's girl, which is Android? I mean, in essence, it seems like they are protecting themselves in the only way they can. I don't, you know, I can't blame them. You know, I mean, you don't want to be, you know, you don't want to have birthed this Android experience only to have somebody else come along possibly take it out from underneath you by just doing a better job. You know, I think this is definitely the move you have to make.
And I definitely agree with that. I think this is a good move for Google because Android is open source. Don't get me wrong. It's open source Linux. That's the primary kernel on that. I have a Linux box sitting right here in front of me, as a matter of fact. It is still Linux. It will still remain public. A lot of the, you know, I agree with that. I think that Google needs to take back what's theirs. Everybody's got their special sauce for Android. And now Google's coming in and saying, okay, you've got your sauce. Here is ours. And we're calling ours the vanilla true Google experience. What do you think about that, Jack?
I like it, you know, and I actually think that, you know, I have no problem with it. I would anticipate things, you know, I mean, I'm a big fan of Drive, you know, and if they can start making everything a little bit more smoother and, you know, I guess they'll probably start, you know, just conglomerating their apps, so to speak, you know, into one massive experience, like you talked about with the Hangouts, the voice Hangouts and everything. You know, I think they're making a push, you know, to be something special, like, you know, like, and, you know, just really make Google and, you know, everything the Android brand, you know, I guess, so to speak.
That's a great perspective. You know, make it the Android brand. And that's, you know, switching Google TV to Android TV. I think that was the start of it, you know, and that's as we get ready to wrap this up, Jack, I appreciate you hanging out with me. I do have one more thing to get to, and that is my ID10T. You're in management. I'm just a geek. Okay. But terminology in our everyday life is everything. Okay. Terminology is important to everybody. I mean, I could tell you run to the store, or your wife could tell you, Jack, run to the store and get some milk. Does she mean literally strap on your tennies and run your little feet down to the store? No, she means get in a car, figuratively speaking, run to the store and come back. Terminology is big to me. It's very important to me. My ID10T goes out to all the reporters out there that this week, when they were reporting Apple press event, they said, quote, the Mac OS X new release is now available. Jack, when I say Mac OS, you know, I mean, that it's OS 10 is what X is, right? The Roman numeral?
I do know that. So I wouldn't know that's what they're talking about.
So how is it that tech reporters get away with citing OS X when the catchphrase for it is OS 10 Mavericks? Am I out of line on this, or am I kind of lost?
No, I think that, I mean, to me, I think it creates confusion.
Right.
You know, you got, you know, like you said, terminology being used. And if somebody's saying OS X and somebody's saying OS 10, somebody who's not on the inside necessarily sees two different products in their mind.
I definitely agree with that.
The OS X and the OS X.
Exactly. Yes, exactly. Yeah, it is OS X. The catchphrase, those in the know that it's OS X Mavericks. Those not in the know, well, they say OS X. And those that really know just kind of sit back, point and laugh, roll their eyes. You get podcast hosts like me that call them ID10Ts. You know, it's just... And the thing that really grinds me on this is these are tech reporters, Jack.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like going to a manager and saying, do you have keys to your office? And he says, no. I mean, kind of, okay. Right?
Yeah.
I mean, hey, boss, I'm going to be late to work. Well, why are you telling me? What? You know,
yeah.
It's just,
yeah,
go ahead. Sorry.
Oh, I was gonna say, yeah, it's a blunder. It's, you know, it leaves people, like you said, it's like a conversation killer. It's all you can do is sit back and stare and wonder. You know, it's
it's that deer in the headlights look, isn't it?
Exactly. You know, the unexpected. Yeah. You know, I have no response for this.
Definitely. Well,
just pick up your jaw and walk away.
Yeah, pick up your jaw. It's just like, facepalm. That's what I was trying to say. Facepalm, right. You know, Jack, it's been a lot of fun. I appreciate you coming in, hanging out with me. I have...
Absolutely.
Just like when I'd show up on Tunes with you and you have coming over into my neck of the woods, it is truly an honor. I appreciate it very much. As we get ready to wind this show down, sir, do you have any final thoughts, plugs, shout-outs, etc.? The floor is yours.
All right. Well, just to do a quick plug, you can check out the podcast I do host with Brian at thepensinitiative.com. We are hosts of The League, which is an NHL hockey show. We review the week of news. But it's great to be back. Hanging out with Piper on Trading Topics Network. Big family here, and I always enjoy my time with you. And I'm glad you had me, even though I'm a novice. I've learned. I've got some things to think about and some things to check out. I'm definitely going to take a look at SwiftKey as a possible replacement for my current keyboard on my phone, and look more into Hangouts too, especially with the changes coming.
And that's always something, with the Android space, I can always confidently say that if there's one thing you don't like, look in the place where you can find something to fix it. That's definitely sure.
Yeah, and that's fun. And it's fun to do too, actually, to search around for
it. It is. A lot of times it is. And folks, we are getting ready to put a lid on this. I want to thank you all for hanging me out. We're well past the hour mark, but we covered a lot of good stuff tonight. Once again, thanks to my special guest, Jack, coming back to the Trending Topics Network. Ladies and gentlemen, once again, this is TrendingTopicsNetwork.com, where I, Piper the DJ, have brought you, once again, episode 58 of Trending Mobile Technology. Make sure you check us out every day. We got great shows like Fight Show Live, The Real News, Old School to Movies, and The Spanish Announce Table. While you're at it, folks, make sure you take a roll on over to blogtalkradio.com. Check out the boys over on the My Goal Network, where they are constantly educating the masses all about what we call soccer, but to them, it's still football. Tune in next week, ladies and gentlemen, where I bring you another round of Trending Mobile Technology. Make sure you're checking me out. I'm on gmail.com. Check out my tech talk on Google Communities. And as always, ladies and gentlemen, I am Piper the DJ, taking a bite out of the mobile space. Good night.